everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We are so back. I had a tweet that made a million impressions. That is the kind of exposure for my book and maybe even for the show that one cannot buy. The opportunity by Elon Musk to be making provocative tweets and getting the responses from people, that would be worth tens of thousands of dollars. Just getting 1 million people to just hear about you. Some people don't understand just how much it's worth, but people who know that business of exposure, you know how much you would pay. You know it's tens of thousands of dollars for this. And so I feel like I won tens of thousands of dollars just because of a small tweet that I did yesterday, not thinking that it would be particularly provocative, but just like most of these trending viral tweets that I do, it's always a weird tweet out there that I didn't think would particularly be dragging attention, but it ends up frustrating the normies, and I collect the benefits. So we'll talk about this, about the irrationality of people in the reply section. It's amazing. It's a small comment on race mixing, and people go absolutely insane. A lot of people are sending insults at me. Many of them I've blocked. But it's just a reflection that I wanted to have for a long time about this. I mean, and no one wants to talk about it. And it's my job as a public speaker to be forcing discussion that wouldn't happen otherwise. But people who look at this, a white mother, absolutely beautiful, with an average-looking black child, there is a contrast there. And there is not a single human being who's looking at this video or this picture and not seeing the glaring, obvious difference between the mother and her child. If the mother was super thin and the child was super fat, anyone would notice. And they would say, oh, what's happening? Where's the father? The father must be very fat, you know? But when it comes to race, the normies were out there commenting on this. And they were like, oh my God, this is so cute. And not mentioning at all what's obvious to everyone looking at this picture, there is a contrast here that needs to be underlined. You would be hypocritical to just say, oh my God, that is so cute. A scene between a mother and a child. It's not just a scene between a mother and a child. It's a scene that shows what I've talked about mathematically years ago, which is that this person is less related to this person than she is to this random guy, or to me for that matter. You know, it is shocking, but that is the result of the calculations. When you engage in race mixing, your baby is more distant from you genetically or equally distant genetically than you would be to a random European. And he's more distant from her than a random European that would be picked in whatever area of Europe she comes from. Like if I was going to, I think people were saying she comes from Lithuania. Well, if that's the case, if I was going into Lithuania, pick a random person, that random person is more related genetically to her than this baby. And that's an important thing that we should be able to discuss, you know, because people have come to me and said, Jeff, give it up, you know, anti-race mixers, give it up. You lost the war. Race mixing will happen. I'm not saying it will happen or won't happen or that it shouldn't happen. This was not the point of my tweet. The point of my tweet is we have to realize there will be a cost for those people who throw their genes in the great genetic lottery of race mixing. And there will be a price for society and there will be a price for themselves. And for example, what I underline in my tweet is the price that she's paying here is that a lot of her features that make her a beautiful woman are recessive features. You know, relatively paler hair. Of course, she might have tinted her hair blonde, but whether she's tinted or not, she has still Europeans, you know, whether they go full blonde with a tint or whether they have just pale brownish hair, they have paler hair than most people. This doesn't pass. Her pearly European and beautiful features of her neck structure, her facial structure, this doesn't pass. Because there's so much of it that is recessive. There's so much of it that needs to be combined with a European genome for it to survive. And to people, so I mean, I'll go through all of the arguments. I don't want to do a detailed review because I want to get to some news before I do a detailed review of this. But so many people are having poor arguments about this. My point is, she will be paying a price. You know, if she had reproduced with a random European, some of the features that make her an extremely valuable specimen for reproduction would have passed and would have shown in each of the generations down the line, where they have already been abolished in a single generation as her genome got mixed with dominant genes that just basically compute an average, kind of the average human. Like, I look at this child and I see an average human of planet Earth. Like, if I was to take everyone from India, China, Africa, America, Europe, and I would kind of have an AI compute the average human, that would probably be this guy. Whereas, to obtain this girl, I would have to train my AI to say, all right, find me the most beautiful of the most beautiful of the most beautiful by criteria A, B, C, until I would get to her, you know? There is a cost to race mixing. That is my point. And the thing with the current taboo around this in society is that you can only say positive things about race mixing. So, it always has to be the most wonderful thing. Oh my God, is that wonderful race mixing? Oh my God, aren't they so cute? But we should be able to reach a degree of maturity where we can engage on, hey, you know, everything in evolution is a trade-off. Everything is a game. And she's playing the game in a certain way. And I'm not saying she shouldn't. Maybe the key to the future is to have a half black, half white baby. Who knows what the future holds for us? You know, maybe in a future that is basically white genocidal, maybe this kid will do better than a pearly white kid. I can't predict these kinds of things, so I'm not going to judge her game, but let's be honest at least about it. There's a game. There's a trade-off here. This baby is not going to end up as beautiful as her. That was the point of my tweet. And now I have another tweet this morning, just coming back onto this theme. And even that tweet made 200K impressions. So I'm continuing to meme on this and receive the insults of all the world. Let's review some of the news before I go through these insults and bad arguments. Lol, the normies found the tweet. Exactly. Well, I found the normies. Let's be clear. It's a talent. It's a job that I do. You know, bringing subjects onto the public space that wouldn't be brought up otherwise. That's my job. That's my job, and my payment is exposure. So that is just how it's done. It's not the normies that found this tweet. It's I found something in the normie's heart that could be exploited. Frederick Von Finkel says, Jeff, I'm a little worried you get banned again for these tweets. Well, don't be worried about it. I actually got reported already to Twitter for racism. And we'll get to the tweet. There's not an inch of racism in that tweet. I'm not even talking about race. I'm talking about a mother and a baby. But Twitter, well, X has already reviewed and has assessed that my tweet not only does not violate their rule, my tweet is legal in Germany. I mean, there are certain historical moments at which being legal in Germany, you know, it's not always been the most objective measurement. Being legal in Germany is, it's like a shotgun in the dark. It's not necessarily certain that your thing is clear. But, you know, Germany has improved in the last few decades. And now being legal in Germany is basically the new standard for tweet. And I just passed the standard. This morning I woke up, checked my email, and X was like, you have been reported in Germany. And I was like, okay, these Nazis are after me. But no, but then at the bottom of the email, they were saying, no, we looked at it and you are legal in Germany. Canada's chief public health officer, Theresa Tam, thinks now is the time to get your mask ready.
Just as a follow-up, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to take note, you're all masking, which is lovely to see, of course, but most government ministers.
These are not regular questions. Lovely to see. There's nothing lovely about it. It does. It's a form of announcement that they're trying to go back to the times of medical control of individual decisions against people's will.
Are not now. Most MPs are not. Most people on the street are not.
Those are all government-approved journalists asking these questions through a Skype call. Because as an interviewer, I've been connecting to people on the internet for years. I can recognize a Skype call. You guys are on a Skype call. You are the government, Canadian, communist-approved journalist who preempt your question with a fake statement around cuteness. Like, I'm tired of fake cuteness. That's why there's a rule on our Discord server, the cuteness category. You only post things that are truly cute. But I'm tired of people acting like the mother and her baby was cute. I'm tired of people acting like masks are cute. No, you're talking about a project of eradication of liberty. That is what you're talking about as cute.
Masking. Is there any specific guidance on that going forward at this point?
Yes, Theresa Tam. So it is a layer of protection. We hope people have developed the habit to be able to use masks as needed during the respiratory virus season, not just for COVID, but for all the other respiratory pathogens that will be transmitted around this time. So I do think now is the time to get your masks ready if you don't already have them. In our own particular context, we certainly in our area, there's been an uptick in some of the COVID-19 indicators. For me personally, there have been cases around, you know, even my work colleagues. So that's one of the reasons why we are wearing masks today.
So they're basically planning to push for masks again. I don't think that it will catch with the population. I think they've reached the maximum level of annoyance. There is a new technology, AI, that can manipulate the video a little bit to just make your lips move more consistently when you are speaking another language. So dubbing that looks like you're speaking for real, look at this. This guy is not speaking at all the language that he will be speaking in, but AI has modified his lips so that it would look like he's a native speaker.
All right, so supposedly this is a vocal translator that's drag and drop, so I can just drop this in, and it theoretically should just make it the new language. And then also, it should translate my lip movement so that it matches that new language. So we'll see how it works. I am required to talk for at least 30 seconds to even use this thing, so I guess I'm going to keep going here. So I don't have anything else to say in particular, but hopefully this works well and make some really cool translating clips. So there we go.
D'accord. Donc apparemment, c'est un traducteur vocal qui est glissé-déposé. Donc je peux simplement le déposer et théoriquement, cela devrait simplement le rendre dans la nouvelle langue et aussi cela devrait traduire mes mouvements de lèvres pour qu'ils correspondent à cette nouvelle langue. Donc on verra comment ça marche. Je suis obligé de parler au moins 30 secondes pour utiliser ça, donc je suppose que je vais continuer ici. Donc je n'ai rien d'autre à dire, j'espère que cela fonctionne bien et crée des clips de traduction vraiment cool. Nous y voilà. In Ordnung. Angeblich ist dies ein Vokalübersetzer, der per Drag and Drop funktioniert. Also kann ich das einfach fallen lassen und theoretisch sollte es die neue Sprache machen und dann auch meine Lippenbewegung übersetzen, damit sie zu dieser neuen Sprache passt. Also werden wir sehen, wie es funktioniert. Ich muss mindestens 30 Sekunden lang sprechen, um dieses Ding überhaupt benutzen zu können, also werde ich wohl hier weitermachen. Also habe ich nichts Besonderes zu sagen, aber hoffentlich funktioniert das gut und macht einige wirklich coole Übersetzungsausschnitte. Da gehen wir.
So, there was none of them, both of them were the AI. What we heard him say in French and German, because I know French, I don't know German. But what we heard him say was the whole thing that he had said in English. So that was just a replay of his English moment, but through the translation and the lip movements, they were not perfect, but they were very well timed. And most of the recognition that something doesn't fit with the dubbing is very often just the timing, because the shape of the mouth is something that people who are deaf will use, but it's not necessary. You can create an impression of natural speech, but if you just have the right timing, which is why people who are experts at dubbing movies, they time a lot with the video. They look at the video, and there's even a form of writing that is especially designed for dubbers, where you write and you make a string after the letter that you want the dubber to stick to. So it's like if the E of a word it lasts for longer, you make the E longer with a long string. And then when we get the dubber to speak in the mic instead of the actor that they are dubbing, there's a little cursor and you see the text pass over this cursor. And so they know that, okay, I have to hold that E that long, and then I have to switch to the next letter of the word. So that is probably similar to what the AI is doing in terms of, okay, I got that much play here. I got one syllable I need to fit in. How do I connect this in and out so that it looks natural? Band InfoWar host Owen Schrauer was on Timcast.
I campaigned for my account back now. Let me explain why this is an important thing. It's beyond just me getting my original Twitter account back.
Your ex account.
I'm sorry. My original. Technically, it was never on X.
And considering it's a new platform, I think you should unban everybody and say it's a new platform.
I agree. Including one person, one, as he's known himself. And really, quite frankly, all the other InfoWars accounts that got the mass banning. But here's why it's beyond just the censorship issue when we're dealing with my case. So my original account at All I Do Is Owen had a couple hundred thousand followers when they banned me. I don't want to have to build up another account. I don't want to go through that again. I want my account back. I want my history. I want my archives. I want all that. I want the nostalgia. I want the memories. But here's what's crazy about it. There are multiple Owen Schroyers operating on X right now, verified. None of them are me. Not a single one of the Owen Schroyers with a verified blue.
All right. So he's making the argument that he's getting impersonated. It's bizarre. This way Elon was full pro speech, pro free speech. And the way he was totally unfair to a couple of people in our circles alongside the Alex Jones crew. He held against them a punishment that comes from an authority that he recognizes was illegitimate and was banning people illegitimately. So it's a good time to remind ourselves that there is a failure of the Elon Musk free speech project. Ash Tipsut says, are JF and Nick Fuentes friends? Yeah, well, we had the difficult moments at times, but I spoke to him again when he came back to Twitter for a single night. And we had a discussion on his Twitter space, and we forgave each other. And so, yes, I guess I would consider him a friend, although I've not spoken to him since. Justin, Coinbase CEO, says they will implement Bitcoin Lightning. We've made the decision to integrate Lightning. Bitcoin is the most important asset in crypto. Bitcoin is very important. Lightning, I don't know that it's an interesting solution all that much. It is kind of weird. It is a very isolated network. People just don't use it. But, you know, the problem is that there is a market for Bitcoin transaction to be less costly, but it's not the dominant market right now. So, yes, I wish that we were in a world where Bitcoin transactions, and they should be very, very low cost. You know, when you think about what it is, it's just a couple of mathematical things. There's no particular reason why Bitcoin costs should be as high as they are, other than the fact that there's all sorts of considerations to give to fighting against spam and paying the miners and making this all a big thing. But Bitcoin Lightning kind of relies on a promise, from my understanding. Kind of relies on debts that will be settled later. And I don't understand, and I don't believe that it is a safe system. I guess I would need to be explained a little more about it, but I cannot see how it's a safe system. I understand other systems of trust, like the locking system on ETH-type blockchains. That I understand, and that I can attest. You know, you put your money in a smart contract, it gets locked, and then it reappears on another blockchain. That I can understand is a true neutralization of the money, and there is no way out. But for Bitcoin, Lightning, I don't know. What does the Bitcoin node, what does the node have to go through if he has to settle a million different transactions that cost infinitely more to settle on the Bitcoin blockchain than they do on the Bitcoin Lightning network? What happens then? What happens if there's a difference between what's been happening on the Lightning node and what can happen because the node operator doesn't have the means to pay the fees anymore? Those are some of the questions that are still opened in my mind. What else do we have before we get to our main news, our main item, which is the response to my tweet? FTX receives court approval to liquidate $3.4 billion in crypto assets. Solana, I think that Solana will be taking a big hit because they had a lot of Solana for for some reason. Solana. I've never had Solana. People have kept telling me, Jeff, you should buy Solana. I still don't have the explanation. How is Solana solving something super important in the crypto space? I get it that they promote themselves as this and that, but I'd like to know what is the future for Solana before I ever buy any of it. Anyways, Bitcoin, I think that, yes, they had an amount, but below the $1 billion Bitcoin amount, I don't think it can have a long-term big effect on the market. So I'm not scared for the price of Bitcoin. On top of it, they will be releasing this progressively. It's not like they will dump this on the market all in one shot. So I don't have any worries about this event on its effect on the price long term. I think it's going to be a very diluted sell, and it's a very small amount. All things considered, it's a small volume of entry into the Bitcoin blockchain, into the Bitcoin market. Troll Waffen says, you guys heard about the new crypto coin, Hitlero. It's based off of Monero, and it's 100% private by default. No, I haven't heard about it. do we need another privacy coin? It does seem that we have all of the privacy coins we need. Personally, I'm not particularly charmed at the idea. I think that Monero is doing the job very well. And if you want to go even more extreme than Monero, the ARRR pirate currency. But I don't know what's the status of it. But you know, those are specialized currencies, and they have their function. But no, I'm not super driven by the whole privacy market. I think not as many people as you would think need that. I think Bitcoin in and of itself gives a little bit of privacy, and especially when you have Bitcoins that have not been passing through your regular channels that are KYC'd. You know, there is such a thing as Bitcoins that you could have in a wallet that are not traceable to you. That is addressing a lot of people's privacy needs. Unity wants 108% of our revenues. So apparently this is a studio of developers who were saying, our studio focuses in mobile games for kids. We don't display advertising to kids because we are against it, and we don't fucking want to. Our only way to monetize those games is through in-app purchases. We should be in charge to decide how and how much to monetize our users, not Unity. According to our last year's number, if we were in 2024, we would owe Unity 109% of our revenue, 1 million of revenue against 1.09 of Unity runtime fee. This means more than we actually earn. And of course, I'm not taking into account salaries, taxes, operational costs, and marketing. Does Unity know anything about mobile games? Someone with a background in EA should be fired for his ignorance about the market. So I don't know what was this decision, but I know that this happens again and again. You have a stemming service that is offering service to developers, creating dependence, offering all sorts of things that will help developers, and then eventually they get into a mode of, let's squeeze the lemon. Let's try to make as much cash as we can from our platform. And in those times, the dependence over, the reliance over these entities suddenly makes your cost rise crazily. So you have to be very careful in development. You know, yes, this service may be appealing to you not for now because it's $1 per month, but it's impossible that it will be $1 per month forever. By definition, they will eventually have to squeeze everything they can from you. And the problem is if you build, you know, rebuilding outside of something like this, which is a developer platform, a game engine, you're talking about basically redoing everything from scratch. If you want to get rid of your dependence over Unity, you have to reinvest and redevelop your whole thing, your whole game, and that's barely feasible. So let's talk about the public response to my tweet. I want to read the tweet first, and please keep in mind, I haven't made this tweet with evil intentions. I didn't consider it a racist tweet at all. I wanted to highlight the fact that there are evolutionary decisions that are happening in the world right now, especially about race mixing, that have consequences down the line. And that it's not all pink and rosy. It's not all easy. It's a trade-off very often. And very often, the people who decide, I'm going to race mix, they are playing a risky game. Just like the people who are deciding, I'm not going to race mix. There's always a bunch of risks associated with your decision making. And that's what I wanted to highlight with this tweet. Shrink Mamel says, so I can put my energy towards females during the day until it's my weekend, then it's off to the bar. Okay, so Shrink Mamel is continuing his intense effort of finding a reproductive woman. So my tweet was about this video. I said, imagine having made it. You are at the top of the sexual selection ladder, a 10 out of 10 woman, ranking within the top 0.1% of the most beautiful woman who will ever live under the sun. And then you get a kid who carries none of your recessive, sought-after genetic features. I didn't mean much more than what's written in there. I didn't mean she shouldn't do it. I didn't mean, oh, here's an ugly kid, she should discard him. That is not what I meant. What I meant is really what's written there. Consider this situation in which she's in. Her situation is that she married a basketball player, and he's a successful basketball player, from my understanding. So he has a lot of money, is considered athletic. And my commentary here was not saying this basketball player has no value or he's bad. My commentary is merely, hey, by making this decision, she undergoes a cost. She undergoes a cost of some sort. And the cost is that the very feature that makes her able to grab an NBA player are features that are not showing up at all in her baby. And that may be a higher cost than most people are willing to admit intergenerationally. Because her beauty probably ultimately stems from a bunch of genes that she has. And these genes are very unlikely now to serve her genetic descent. This is what I wanted to point out. Her genes that served her well are very unlikely to be capable of serving her descent well, because they probably won't be able to express in the absence of the regular European expected genome, simply because a lot of the features that are not strongly present in the whole of the population end up being recessive. It takes some time for a gene to evolve and become dominant, and not all genes will become dominant. A lot of them will start recessive by default, and if the pressure, the evolutionary pressure on them is not strong enough to make them dominant, they will stay recessive. And so let's play the video here, just to show this moment.
Hey, Daddy.
Hey, Bobby.
How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Hey, mommy kisses.
Let me see his jersey. Yeah, boy.
Hey, daddy.
Okay, so basically, the kind of girl I would expect to become a cheerleader in terms of beauty. I don't know if she's a cheerleader or if she just has these jerseys as a kind of gift from her husband. But I want to go through some of the things that people have said in reply. Someone says they are a happy family. The kid is perfectly healthy. Genetics are not an issue. I think that's incorrect. Genetics are always an issue first. Genetics always underlie a lot of the things that we live and that we are. And yes, it's a genetic game what is being played here. She has married her husband because he's a genetic specimen who performs well at basketball. He became rich because he performs well at basketball. He could pick someone like her because he's rich and because ultimately he probably has some genes for the talents that he expresses in basketball. So yes, genetics are totally at play here. And the reason, what I was trying to bring attention to in my tweet was, it's not just a winning game. There are trade-offs happening here. And I'm wondering if her genes being so good for her superior beauty, I'm wondering if she would have been served better by an evolutionary strategy of getting a poor, ugly-looking Eastern European guy than she is by getting a rich but racially separated from her guy. This is a question. It's not a question I have an answer to. That's why my tweet doesn't say it's wrong what she's done. But I want to highlight the complexity of the decision-making here, where every normie is trying to, in the modern times, every normie is trying to reduce this to, oh, it's so beautiful. And it's like, no, there's something you don't mention here. There's something that stems, that pops up to everyone's face. Just like if you were to go to the McDonald's and you see this very same girl with a 600-pound super fat guy who stinks, you'd be like, what the fuck is happening here? What the fuck is happening? And I'm not saying that her current husband is 600 pounds and stinks. I'm saying, when you notice a contrast between family members, it pops to your visual system immediately. You immediately think about this. But because of the current taboo around interracial relationships, it's like everyone acts like they don't see it. I wanted to bring it because I know that you see it, I see it, everyone sees it. There is a disconnect between the genetic makeup of this child and this woman. And it means something, and we should talk about it. I don't care if the conclusion of the discussion is, of course, as a libertarian, my conclusion would be she does whatever she wants. Her baby does whatever she wants. Her NBA player does whatever he wants. Yes, they can do whatever they want. And I can comment, and we should comment, and we should think about what is being paid for here. Are there tolls that are hidden, that are being paid for this advantage of, oh yeah, I did grab an NBA player, I did grab a millionaire. It cannot be all positive, I'm sorry. Suburban says there's not much positive to say about it, so no talky talk. So let's go through some of the other comments. Someone is saying, if she's contradicting biology, doesn't that point to its limits, which can no more be understood biologically than biology itself as a mode of the one living creature not identical with its physical nature such that it can be an object of biology, since we ourselves are it? This is the kind of loose extrapolation. It starts with a false premise. I never said that she's contradicting biology. I'm not saying she's acting against her genetic interest. I am raising the question, is she? Someone says, what? You don't think basketball players will advance the species? My tweet was not a commentary about him not being a high-quality man. Certainly he has some quality, since he has demonstrated this quality in his ascension of a sport that I believe is still competitive. If he had been hired as a preferential hiree in some bureaucrat job, maybe I wouldn't see it as a meritocratic achievement. But certainly getting into the NBA must be some kind of merit. So I'm not saying basketball players are a bad choice. I'm saying by taking that choice, she has given up the playing out of her own genetic recessive features in her descent. In other words, she will have black kids, even if she's not black herself, because that's just the nature of it. That's another thing we need to discuss. White plus black equals black, yes. And the left is pissed at this. They're like, oh, this is a great inconsistency of the racialist. No, it's not an inconsistency. It's because whiteness is achieved through purification of the genome, basically. I mean, the Europeans became white because they were isolated from other races. So, yes, when you are half black, half white, you will end up being socially considered as black. And that's okay. It's not an inconsistency. You know, the comedian, the French comedian Dieudonné, was imitating an Asian at some point. And he made this great imitation that totally resolves this question of why is it that a half-white, half-black person is black? He was imitating a Chinese guy trying to explain. And I can't redo the voice, and it was in French. But he was saying, see, if you take the part of the egg that is yellow and you mix it with the part of the egg that is white, you mix, what do you obtain? It's yellow. And it was incarnating by doing this comedy performance. It was incarnating a kind of Asian supremacist who was basically telling us that you know, if I breed with a white woman, my children will be Asians. So, but yes, that is true. That is true. When you mix, and there is a part of the mixing that has dominant characteristics and other characteristics are recessive, the dominant characteristics will show up more in your descent. And that is just a fact. That is just so that the features of the Europeans are recessive, whereas the features of the Africans, the Indians, and many other people are basically what humans converge back to when they interbreed across the races. So, you know, curly hair, brown skin, all of this is what we converge back to. All of this is what you'll see in some places of Africa, and then in Brazil, and then in India. And it's like, yeah, that is just, those are the features of a dominant gene-dominated human. That is just what it is. A lot of people are saying racism on X in 2023. Or they're saying, oh, this guy is a eugenicist in 2023. I don't think that my tweet was racist at all. I want us to have a discussion and understand that we are giving up something of our own heritage when we engage in race mixing. that giving up may be worth it for some people and it may be not worth it for others. But there is an abandonment of a genetic legacy, and we should talk about it. Because the genes that you capture in an interracial baby have very little chance of coming back to purity. You know, there's very little chance that this half-black kid will reproduce with someone and lead to a recombination that, out of pure random, ends up recombining most of his white genes with a fully white person, giving a fully white baby. That is a fact. It is very likely that when you get into the race mixing game, your entire line of descent will be stuck in that pool in some form because of the simple fact of racial preferences in dating and the social conception that half white, half black is a black person. Because there are preferential dating patterns such that white people end up wanting to reproduce more with white people, Asians want to reproduce more with Asians. It means that someone who is being pulled into the middle of all this has very little chance of being desired by any other race than the race he most looks like. And the race that this young boy most looks like is black. So he's more likely to date within the black population. AI pro, even if he has 50% of his genes that are European. AI pro says, JF, is it true that blue eye color genes is more dominant than brown / black eye? No. It's the contrary of the truth. Arman was saying, you need to learn about Punnett squares. He most definitely does carry recessive genes from his mother. Look up phenotype versus genotype. That's a subsection of the Twitter normies who are claiming that, hey, he's wrong. This guy doesn't know anything about biology. They are claiming that because the child carries the genes of the mother, that it's not true, that he doesn't carry her genetic features. But I want to highlight a part of that tweet that they seem to miss intentionally. I didn't say that the child isn't carrying her genes. I said the child isn't carrying her genetic features. And when I say genetic features, I meant the phenotype. The child isn't carrying her phenotype. The child isn't carrying the European phenotype. And that's what I want to bring attention to. I'm not saying he's not carrying her genes, but I'm saying her genes will have difficulty expressing themselves in any way that works because they are mostly recessive, obviously. From the simple physical observation of the child, you can conclude that they are mostly recessive. Rodila says, Jeff, how can we create a virus to transform blue eyes into a dominant gene? Maybe using CRISPR? It's a tough one. It's a tough one because it's not just the gene. It's not just, oh, we'll make a change to the gene and it's going to be dominant. It's the whole physiology of the system that leads to melanin being in your eye. And you know, we say the blue eye genes are recessive, but really it's that blue is the color of your eyes if it doesn't have melanin in it. So that is how it works. And what's really happening is that there are some genes that will lead to production of melanin in your eyes. The blue eye genes really are just encoding the non-production of melanin in your eye. So you'd have to have an oversight over the whole human genome and do some tweaks here and there. You couldn't just make blue eyes a dominant gene. You would have to neutralize the melanin production capacities of any other genes. And then blue eyes would be basically a dominating feature. Frederick Van Finkel says, Jeff, unless you are able to tell me my hair or eye color based on that DNA file I gave you, you're forever a charlatan to me. Well, okay, but you're a deluded schizophrenic, right? So I can live with you thinking that I'm a charlatan. No one will ever believe you. You've divagated over way too many things. Your opinion is worth nothing to me. I'm JF. Like, I'm Bill Murray. No one will believe you. A lot of people are just reacting by saying, bro, what? What did he just say? Okay, there's not much that I can answer to this, but yeah, it's my job to say things that you wouldn't want to say because of your social taboos, but I want to bring an honest public conversation. Randall was saying, from a U.S. constitutional perspective, those are two free adults with the absolute right to make human life as they choose. And that is a happy, beautiful child with happy parents who want that child. They have made the one poor thing worth fighting for. Yes, but I'm not questioning this. And my tweet isn't saying that their life isn't worth it for them. You know, they can do whatever they want. If they're happy with the baby, that's fine. I'm pointing out to social consequences to the current ongoing propaganda campaign that seeks to have mostly, honestly, white women fucked by black men. There's a propaganda campaign happening, and it's happening in that direction rather than the other. You know, we don't see much pressure onto the white male to pair up with black females. Somehow that's too hard for the system to handle. But we need to think about the social consequences because people need to be informed about this. The kid will be doing fine, I'm sure. You know, he has a chance at doing fine. And it's not what I'm questioning. What I'm questioning is, are you playing a losing evolutionary game when you do this? Are you playing a losing evolutionary game where you had achieved the top of the scale in terms of beauty, and yet all of it gets diluted within a single generation because none of these genes were dominant? It's an important evolutionary question. One other point that a lot of people came to me about... And that comes a lot on the right, you know, on people who don't take issue with the fundamental aspect of my tweet. They say, oh, she's not top 0.1%. She's not 10 out of 10. And to all these people, you guys are frustrating me. Like, if that's not 10 out of 10, can you please just send me a picture of a 10 out of 10 woman? So that I can know what you're talking about. That's a 10 out of 10 woman. I'm not saying she's the most beautiful woman on planet Earth, but that's a 10 out of 10 woman. There, you can't find, for her not to be a 10 out of 10, you'd have to show me which 10% of the population of planet Earth is more beautiful than her. I mean... Just think about it. 10%. 10% of 7 billion people. 7 billion times 10%. So 700 million people. You're going to have to find for me, and let's say that half of those are males. So you're going to have to find 350 million females more beautiful than her if you want to convince me that she's not a 10 out of 10. Good luck. I don't think you will. She's a 10 out of 10, period. To me, that's not an argument. Now, you got your old weird incel thing going on. I get it, where you want to dismiss the value of woman because of some issue you got in your head. That's fine. I've already spoken about it. I think it's totally fine to be vindictive like this. But I have a commitment to truth. As a truth speaker on the public space, I have to say the truth, and the truth is that this is a 10 out of 10 woman. Like, people were telling me, Jeff, she cannot possibly be the top 0.1% of all women in the history of humanity. And it's like, yeah, man. I've thought about the past a lot. I've thought about the past a lot. I've thought about all those cavern, hair growing, testosterone-filled women who were capable of surviving in the jungle somehow. And the past is ugly, okay? I have seen cones of ancestry, tens of thousands of fat, ugly women that you'd be like, okay, that's the only way I can survive. That's the only way I can have babies. I'm going to put my dick in her. But, you know, but you would close your eyes as you were getting close to her. I've seen the past. I have seen the history of the ancestry line. I have imagined all the monkeys just fornicating and eventually some retarded monkey showing up with a fucked up chromosome and eventually becoming kind of human-like, but totally ugly, you know? And yes, she is in the top 0.1% of what the world can achieve in terms of just physical beauty. Sorry, that's just, you haven't gone through the thinking. I'm crying just thinking about it, just thinking about this chain of men who had to fuck all these disgusting women. It's you haven't gone through what I've gone through, and I can say from my thought experiment that I've performed that she is the top 0.1%. Yeah, like, do you even go to the Walmart blog? You know, the people of Walmart. Do you even know what people of Walmart is? People of Walmart is a sampling activity, a scientific sampling system that pictures ugly people at Walmart. And I don't know if it's still online, but I've been through the archives, bro. I've been here on the internet from the beginning, you know, and I think that people just don't realize the mass of ugliness that's out there. I think you have to have seen the world like I did to truly measure what is the 0.1% of this kind of blob of fat that humanity is. And yes, she's in the 0.1%. And then I started realizing the importance of my scientific conclusions. So I made another tweet this morning. Years ago, someone asked me to calculate how genetically related one would be to a child they would have with someone from another race. I was stunned by the results. The results were as follows. When a European has a child with an African, the child is as genetically related to the European parent as a random European person picked on the street. The implications of this kinship calculation are massive. For example, this mom should be as evolutionarily incentivized at giving breastfeeding access to me as a random European as she is to her own child. This is the reason people are finding this image stunning and salient is because there is something fascinating here. Look at me. I'm a European. I am closer to her genetically than the baby that she's currently gently holding in her arms. she could be holding me. And she, my point is not she should. And my point is not she should let me suck her tits. My point is the science says it wouldn't totally be irrational if she let me suck her tits. In fact, it would be kind of neutral. It would be kind of not as shocking as letting this boy suck her tits. That is what the calculation says. Now, don't hate the player, hate the game. I've done those calculations because I think it's an important question. When you combine half of your genome, you know that your child will have half of your genome. But you also know that the random Europeans around you have more similarities with you than the Africans. And so there's the question of the trade-off. This 50% that differs between you and your child, will it be close to you because it's a European 50%? Or will it be very distant to you because it's an African 50%? And the answer is, the genomes of Africans and Europeans are so distant that they are worth basically the relationship between you and your child. They are basically worth the equivalent of what distinguishes me from this girl. And now the link that you have, that this girl has to me, is genetically equivalent to the link that she has with her baby. Atchis Psut says, imagine if biology professors talked like JF. They would get fired, and yet they would be teaching the truth. Which is why I've said it in 2015 when I left the academia. I just think I will have more access to truth being outside of the academia as being inside. The fact is, I would have never made this calculation if I was in academia. But that would be career suicide. And on top of it, suggesting that perhaps there is a chance she would let me suck her tit, that is not something you can do in the classroom with female students and all, and not just female students, but Marxist female students. So when I went for liberty, I never knew I was that right. I never knew I would buy myself that much liberty by leaving the academia. But man, do I not regret this decision. Man, am I living a crazy happy life right now. Holy shit, that was the right way to go. All right. I think we'll be headed toward the conclusion. See, I liked the comment of this guy. Although I'm not sure to what degree he's hostile to me, but it's an interesting comment. He says, this is the reverse you know card of why do black athletes give away their generational wealth to white women? See, this guy is a black guy, and in the black side of this conversation, that's amazing because there's something that ties the black side of this conversation to the white side of this conversation. They are astonished when they see this. They are astonished at the fact that a black athlete is paying for a giga bimbo and giving away lots of money to maintain her lifestyle instead of keeping his money circulating within the black community. So that is what they're talking about. And I'm here and basically making the same argument, but about our genes. See, because we all know what is the tying aspect of this union. We have a woman who was genetically beautiful who's succeeding at grabbing a man who was economically successful and probably due to genetics also. But it's the very age-old case of a You are richer, you get a more beautiful woman. And the discussions on the two sides focus on what is given up for this interrelationship to happen. Isn't that fascinating? But seeing it as a reverse Uno card, that is something I didn't expect and I found quite smart. Damn, porn wife cries sex crime. So people have been starting to share this Democrat politicians' porn videos. I won't show them. I've looked at some of the images. it's so cringe. Because it's like you can see that she's not ugly, but she's kind of old and she's not at the beauty level that I would consume porn about. Like, it's not particularly appealing. And they were on Chatterbait. Now she's a Democrat candidate. Now he's a liar. She's a nurse. But they were trying to, and Richard Spencer has a good analysis of all this, that basically they weren't porn stars. They were just people who were getting off from the idea of making more money on whatever Chatterbait, the sex platform is. They probably didn't need more money, but they were getting off from the idea of being an internet porn couple of some kind. Like, some of her stuff has 32 views. I mean, I make more views on my porn than she does. But yeah, she's now a Democrat politician. I don't have strong judgment of this. It's like, yeah, you can do this, but it's kind of weird as a sexual excitation source. Weaponized government agencies don't wish good things for me. Musk blames the Biden admin for the Ukraine Starlink block. I don't know really what their issue is. There does seem to be some significant increase in the weaponization of government and really sort of misuse of prosecutorial discretion in many areas. I think this is really a dangerous thing for their to be partisan politics with government agencies. Definitely. I mean, it's scary how the left has been successful at recruiting the legal system to their own device to be able to harass their political opposition. Quebecensis says, I wonder what the crime statistics are for half-white people. The crimes that the abuse statistics for interracial couples are that basically you get beaten even more than the worst race among your two races. Like basically the interracial only gets you worse than the worst of the two races, because you have cases where, okay, the white abuse rate is at that level. The black abuse rate is at that level. The interracial abuse rate is higher than the black abuse rate. So when you get into an interracial couple, you have the highest chance of ending up being murdered. Highest than even a black couple, highest than a white couple. It's what it is. So yes, that doesn't give a precise answer to your question. I know that your question was specifically about mixed race children. I don't remember, because I don't know, is there enough of a sample that we could even know this? I remember psychological studies about mixed race children at the elementary school level, but I don't remember data about when they grow up and their criminality rate as adults. I don't fully remember. Maybe we have this. I would have to check. AI aristocracy, last news item before we cut the show. Russell Roulette and Luxury's double-edged sword. Neutral is the new black. What are they saying? Oh, it's all economical analysis. Well, that's not what I wanted to talk. Okay, there's the news item I had pulled. Not so fast, Karen. Federal judge blocks New Mexico's governor's health emergency to suspend gun rights. I had reviewed the video of this lady yesterday, I believe, or a couple of days ago. And I was like, holy shit, they are using emergency reasons for any violation that they would like to do of your rights. So I'm happy to see that a federal judge in this case has immediately intervened. You cannot just make up emergencies. And like, this was clear. They were saying there's an emergency of misuse of guns for killing people. But the judge's point is to say that's no reason to attack the legitimate users of guns. That's no reason to deprive people of their right to bear guns legally. It's a reason to maybe justify a program to find the criminal faster, but not to deprive everyone of their gun rights. Totally sensical, in my view. That is it for tonight, everyone. Thank you for being here. And if you'd like to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $5 level or at the $20 level if you want to join us in our monthly private hangouts. But yes, the show needs your support to keep going. Thank you so much for the generousness of all of you across the years. Bye-bye. Thank you.